This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. SensorFlow is a smart energy management startup from Singapore that combines IoT and AI to automate energy consumption for hotel buildings to be more sustainable and energy efficient. It was created from the realization that tourism and hospitality industry is one of the biggest contributors to global energy demands and carbon emissions. And in line with Malaysia's sustainability reform agenda, we speak to the founder of SensorFlow, Sai Krishnan Raghunathan, or better known as Sai, about the ever-evolving landscape of the travel industry and also the obstacles it faces as it moves towards being more sustainable. Sai, perhaps a quick introduction about yourself and also how did this all begin?
Cool, right. So I'm Sai. I'm the co-founder of SensorFlow along with my co-founder Max. So we started back in 2016. We came out of the Entrepreneur First program based in Singapore. So they bring on technical individuals and then help them meet each other and start companies. So Max and I personally started on SensorFlow because for us, this was a really big vision, which is to make smart buildings a reality. And what we mean by that is we want to retrofit every building to automate decision-making, but also provide actionable insights from the data. And so we started off with the hotels industry because we saw a massive impact on two of their main sort of concerns, which is energy costs and manpower costs. Mm.
What year was this that you guys actually founded SensorFlow?
So this was in 2016, 3 years back.
Mm. And how much has changed, since then in 2016 and in 2019, there's more talks about, there's a need to be more energy efficient, but yet, how much has the improvement, have you seen in terms of improvements?
So quite a bit of the improvements have come in the last 2-3 years. And I think this was one of the reasons why we've been so successful is that the timing has aligned nicely with sort of the KPIs for hotels. So if you look at the industry in general, what you see is that all of these hotels are trying to be better at CSR. Their whole customer base, the millennial guests who are now traveling, they are way more eco-conscious as well. And so what they expect from hotels is that they are also eco-conscious and that they are driving sustainability initiatives. And what we found recently was that 50% of the people traveling, millennials, they are willing to pay more money to stay in an eco-conscious hotel. And so that's the kind of change that we see in the industry at the moment.
What sparked this idea? Did you come from an industry that was looking into this as a challenge itself? Or how did this opportunity come about? I know you and your co-partner, your co-founder, decided to start this company in 2016. But prior to that, how did you realize this was an issue and having the expertise that this can solve the problem that we have at the moment?
Right. So I was actually working in this home automation startup called Intrix, based here in Singapore. And what I realized there was, we were trying to work on home automation. And the project that I was specifically working on involved automating air conditioning systems based on how the occupants, moved in and out of their homes. And so when we were doing this, I noticed that there's quite a bit of savings in automating the air conditioner. But what we also found was that purely from a product market fit, like home users switched off the air conditioners. They were already conscious because they were paying the electricity bill. So for many reasons, that company didn't sort of make it. And then I, joined this program. And then, it was always in the back of my head, right? Like, this is something that obviously has implications in the industry. And so just like literally, Max and I were in this room at Entrepreneur First, and then we were discussing with our mentor as to which industry do you think we should sort of go and target? And then we saw this hotel outside our meeting room, and we were like, hey, maybe we should go talk to the hotels because as guests, we are always sort of completely we just don't care about energy savings, right? We usually leave our second key card in the hotel room. Mm. It's wasting a lot of energy. And so, we just built up a prototype and we went and showcased this to one of our first customers. And then, you know, they were really happy because it could be retrofitted easily. It didn't involve any sort of wiring, and it cost them nothing to get started. And, you know, they're able to save up to 50% on their HVAC, their AC energy costs. And so this is sort of how the product developed, like sort of a, you know, understanding how the air conditioning works and then finding a market where this is a really big problem.
That's a gold number, you know, managing 50% of, I guess, you know, saving or cost saving of 50%. That's incredible. What exactly is the device here? And like, you know, you mentioned the prototype and going up to your first customer with the prototype and you still managed to get a buy-in. That must be, I guess, quite surprising though. Some entrepreneurs go like, wow, that's like you hit the nail on the head on the first try.
Yeah, so it was actually very lucky on our part. Like, I mean, we sort of understood the problem very well because we've been hotel guests ourselves, and we knew what the savings potential was. So what we needed to do was quickly iterate and prototype something that can work for this specific customer only, right? So the way we did this was we created mock-ups, like screenshots of what our dashboard might look like, what the like a presentation of as if this product already existed. And then you go and take this to a customer and you present it and you sort of get their feedback. And then you know what they're looking for a bit better. And then you go and work on the actual hardware, the software. And so I remember in the early days, like, you know, we'd go present something which was a complete mock-up. And then the customer would actually be like, okay, so when can we get started? Then you knew that you were onto something. Mm. And then we would take the next week to build this out very quickly and then go and like actually deploy it in one of their rooms. And then once they sort of see it working, you know, they give a bit more feedback and then you iterate a bit more and then they actually pay you $200 or $300 for our first prototype, which is a really good sign that, you know, we are solving a really big problem for the industry.
And I guess one of the ways that they would buy into this is when they see the number of, I guess, you know, cost savings that they would receive. But when you had that prototype, you know, how did you come up with that figure, or like what was the figure that was presented to them before you had the kind of data that you would have now?
Right. So back then, the way we did it was we actually had an energy meter attached to their air conditioning compressor. And so we started off by showing this in my co-founder's basement air conditioner. So we just, you know, set up our own sort of studio where we had this automation system in place and we put an energy meter on the compressor and we ran some demos to gather the data that can then be shown on charts as to like, you know, how the energy consumption drops right after you automate the air conditioner and the kind of savings that you can see. So we then basically used my co-founder's basement as a sample hotel room and then to show that to these guys, like, hey, look, this is a kind of hotel room that you typically see. Look at the automation, look at the savings. And then this gave them the confidence that this product works. And so, you know, most of these guys, they're happy to trial it on a single room and see this thing for themselves. And so that's how we got started. Mm.
And from the prototype itself, how long before it took you to get the final product released and out in the market?
So from the prototype stage, it took us about a year to get to the production ready version.
Wow.
Yeah. So because, you know, with hardware, it usually takes a lot longer than software. And so what we did do was like, you know, we didn't want to slow down our growth and momentum, right? So in between, we just started like 3D printing cases and like, you know, doing the testing in-house versus getting the testing done at the factory. Just finding sort of these hacks that you can do as a startup to get to market faster than waiting for a year to get this production-ready hardware in place, because that just slows down your learning, your growth, the kind of customers you can get. And so even though it took a year to get to production, it doesn't mean that we stayed still. What it meant was we found several ways and several shortcuts and hacks to get to market simultaneously and sort of implement those learnings into the final production version that we have now.
And so how long did your first client had to wait from your presentation about, you know, what this could actually do to them?
Right. So back then, it took us about 3 months to get to like, you know, from the presentation and prototype to like a fully installed sort of property. Mm. And so we did a trial with one room. They were happy with the results. And then we sort of got them to sign a contract. And then like 3 months, we basically installed the entire property and started automating it.
And what was the, I guess, you know, looking back at it now, 3 years since in operation, what do you think was the biggest challenge? Because it seems like you had an easy run in, you know, you and your co-founder got together in a room and during your that, I guess it was like a competition or it was like a brainstorming session and, you know, started this, looked across the room and saw a hotel, decided to let's tackle the hotel industry, got the first client in. It seems pretty smooth sailing at the moment. What was the biggest challenge that you faced?
So the biggest challenge was understanding sort of the business model that works well for this industry. So initially when we started off, like we were going with the, you know, rather straightforward model where the customer can purchase the hardware and then there's a software subscription fee. And so what this meant was that you had a few customers who were able to get on that model and sort of try it and like sign contracts. But, you know, the sales cycle was really slow. And that's because we hadn't yet found the key factors, the key innovation to our business model that we have now, which is that, you know, we don't charge anything upfront for these hotels. We go in, we install all the hardware for free, and they are able to see the savings for themselves in the first 3 months. And then once they're happy with that, then they are on this monthly recurring subscription, service. And so they pay this fixed dollar per room per month contract. Which, because they already seen the savings, they have that sort of confidence that, you know, this thing works and that you are charging me an amount that's lesser than the savings being achieved. And so till we sort of, you know, came up with this innovative business model, it took us a lot longer to close deals. Now we are closing deals on average in 60 days, which is, you know, really good for the industry we are in, and especially good given the fact that we are very much an enterprise company.
It's the pay-as-you-go kind of model.
Yes, exactly. So pay-as-you-save. That's what we call it. Yeah.
I'm speaking to Sai of SensorFlow, and when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about the hardware making process. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, together with Sai of SensorFlow. Early on, we were speaking about how you're helping hotels to be more efficient and using your solution. And a big part of your solution is the hardware itself. So, Sai, how difficult was it for you to create the hardware from scratch? And also, is this all designed in-house?
So everything is designed in-house. Like, this is one of the things that we pride ourselves on. We literally build and design the hardware, the network layer, the gateway, the data collection, the dashboard, the data science analytics, all of that. And so one of the reasons why we do this is because it brings down our costs tremendously, which is why we can innovate on the business model. And the hardware itself, like, most of it has remained the same. But the one thing that changed massively was our occupancy sensor. So back in the early days, like literally the first prototype, we had the occupancy sensor on the thermostat itself. And, you know, we noticed that this had a bunch of issues with detecting people when they're not in range. And so we iterated on that and we came out with the second version, which is a corner-mounted occupancy sensor that, you know, covered the entire room. It was separate from the thermostat, so it would like make sure that it got everyone in vision, everyone being here, the guests. But the problem with that was, you know, it was fine with the boutique guys, with the small properties, like 2-3 star guys. But once you took that model to the 4-star, 5-star properties, you started getting concerns like, the guests might think this is a camera. And so, you know, obviously that's no good. And then so from there, we again iterated to what we now have, which I think is the best occupancy sensor you'll find on the market. It literally looks like a smoke detector and it's ceiling mounted. So it's, you know, next to your sprinklers, your smoke detectors, and it's basically a 9x9 sort of circle that can detect, you know, everybody in the room, and it's completely inconspicuous. Nobody even notices it. If someone sees it, they think it's a portable smoke detector. And so this was probably the most iterated part of the hardware. In terms of software itself, what we're seeing is a lot of the things now are more data-driven. We're collecting a lot of data from these rooms, from these hotels, like occupancy, temperature, humidity, energy consumption. And we also know how guests interact with the room, with the system, with the thermostat. And so from this, we are able to, one, do predictive maintenance, which means that, you know, we can tell the hotels if there are rooms that need maintenance so that, you know, you fix those issues before any guests complain. Second is, from this data, it helps them understand how the occupancy changes over the course of a day. So, you know, like for housekeeping, it's really important for them to understand, you know, when the property is least occupied, because that's when they can improve their productivity to sort of, you know, go clean the rooms on time and spend the least amount of time per room. But also from this data, what we're seeing is that GMs and, like, you know, the VP operations and all these guys can do comparative analysis. Like, they can really understand how different properties in their portfolio compare against each other. What's the best performing property? What's the worst performing? And also beyond that, like, even at a property level, we see this becoming the platform for the hotel, like the brains behind the hotel, because we are able to interact with the other systems in the hotel, like the property management system, which has all the booking information. Then you have the engineering management system, the housekeeping system. And so you're able to interact and use the data from these systems, but also tell these systems to do different things so that overall, as an operation, I'm more productive.
And you also get data from each individual room, which would definitely help, I guess, hoteliers to sort of know and manage their rooms a little bit better, especially when they have, like, you know, way too many rooms in one chain.
Exactly.
I guess I need to also ask, like, how does it actually work? So when you install the device, what does it actually do?
So you have the occupancy sensor and the smart thermostat in the room. And so what happens is the occupancy sensor detects that there are no guests in the room. And at that point, it communicates with the smart thermostat to tell it to do usually one of two things. Either you just switch off the air conditioner or you just increase the temperature to something like 25, 26 degrees. So it really depends on the hotel. Like, some hotels are comfortable just switching off the air conditioner. Some others want to maintain the temperature at a certain number because it's more comfortable for the guests, but it also avoids potential humidity issues. Mm-hmm. And so we leave that up to the hotel to choose. Of course, if you switch it off, you have more savings, but it also means that potentially it's not as comfortable or as less humid as it's supposed to be. And so this, by doing this, you're saving energy because, you know, most guests spend time away from the hotel. They're just there to either sleep or, like, maybe get a quick sort of, like, afternoon shower or something. They don't spend too much time in the rooms. And so when they're away from the rooms and we're automating, we help them save energy.
And recently you had a round of funding that you've secured and you're now expanding to Malaysia. Why Malaysia? And, like, what's the challenge you foresee happening here compared to the ones that you faced in Singapore?
Right. Yeah. So for us, Malaysia is a huge market because what we see is that the government is also pushing for sustainable and green initiatives. Mm-hmm. Like, they're actually highly recommending that, you know, people try and drive this kind of KPIs and metrics. But also we see that, you know, it's one of the top three locations for millennials to travel. And also they are willing to pay more just to stay in eco-conscious hotels. And so, you know, just being a top tourist destination with this kind of influx of guests who care about being eco-conscious together with the government push, that just makes it a super attractive market for us. And in terms of challenges, what we see is actually quite sort of similar to the rest of the region, which is that most hotels, right, like, they don't have the budget to sort of purchase these kind of systems or, like, pay for these kind of systems up front. So which means, you know, you have to be innovative on the business model. You have to be able to give them the solution, achieve a certain performance, and then you take a share of that performance as your own sort of payment. And so this is the same kind of challenges that we're seeing in Malaysia and Singapore and Vietnam and Indonesia, because all of these companies, these hotel companies, are operating on an OPEX budget, and you have to try and work with them to sort of fit yourself into that budget.
And speaking of funding, is it a difficult area for green tech despite all the benefits and opportunities it brings on the table?
So I personally think that it's not at all a challenge at this moment because there's a lot of money in the private investment space, especially for startups that are solving a real problem, and especially in this sector because more and more people are getting, you know, eco-conscious and they want to sort of do the right thing by funding companies in this space because not only does it create actual business value, but it's also doing a good thing. And so what we find is that, you know, when we go out for fundraising, you do have dedicated funds looking after the space, but also funds in general are funding companies like SensorFlow because it makes sense for them from a business perspective as well.
Mm. And of course, you utilize the IoT boom, and then you've got, you know, artificial intelligence that's helping you out as well.
Indeed. I mean, these are just, you know, a lot of development has happened in these spaces. And what we've been able to do is combine the best of these things to like deliver not only a clever sort of business proposition to our customers, but also helping them achieve their sustainability goals, which I think, you know, it just makes complete sense.
What's your vision for SensorFlow? Where are you heading in the years to come? Because there's a lot of talk about, you know, 5G and how we're going to be gathering more data. There's a boom in the IoT, you know, our traffic lights and our roads will be talking to every single device. Where do you see SensorFlow heading into the future?
So for Max and myself, it's always been about, you know, making smart buildings a reality. And what we mean by that is using data to automate decision-making and provide actionable insights. And so the reason why I emphasize on the data part is that, you know, today we need to build all this hardware to sort of gather the data that we don't have. But as we move into the 5G space, into the future, like you're seeing more and more buildings retrofit the sensors already, or even have the sensors installed at the build stage connected to these 5G networks, which means they're already generating the data, but you still need that platform to like utilize that data to give them those actionable insights to make those automated decisions. So as we go into the future, like it's not going to be about the hardware at all. It's going to be more and more about the data because, you know, the data already exists from existing hardware that's connected to these 5G networks or other IoT networks. But SensorFlow is going to take that data and then give you actionable insights and decisions, as well as automate that decision making for you by combining it with potentially other data sources as well. So this is sort of the future of the company.
And that was Sai from SensorFlow talking about how he's created a device to help hotels and other businesses to be more energy efficient and sustainable for the environment. If you've missed any parts of this chat, you can download the podcast now at bfm.my or get the BFM app. We're also on Spotify. Just search for Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu and you're listening to BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.